Right. I'm Richard Wood. I'm a student member of APHA, and my advisor for research and committee chair is Marsha Ori. We're at the School of Rural Public Health at Texas A&M. This project I'm going to discuss is funded by the Cancer Prevention Research Institute of Texas, and I just want to acknowledge the CDC for partial funding and our colleagues at AgriLife, Carol Rice, and Al Skirk. And I have no conflicts of interest or relationships to disclose, neither does Marsha. Okay, so actually I should go read my title here. So it's Speaker Characteristics Influencing Mammography Screening Commitment at Friend-to-Friend Educational Events. And so, okay, I'll speak closer. So what we're looking at here is health presentations in rural communities that maybe a physician or a nurse or other health professional cannot make it to. And what we want to do is find out if other factors, like such as someone who has had cancer in the past or can just generate some amount of trust in the audience members at these educational events, can influence them to want to get a mammogram or just to commit to one. So those are our two research questions. Can a lay individual convince women to get a mammogram? And does the expertise, such as education, professionalism, have just as much importance or not as being a cancer survivor? So there's our study aims, basically the same as the research question. And let me tell you about the friend-to-friend intervention. So many of you probably know what the NCIR TIPS are. They're research-tested intervention programs. You can find them on the NCI's website. They have about 138 interventions on there. And so these already have evidence. I'm not testing a specific intervention for effectiveness. What we're really doing is trying to implement something that's been proven in urban environments and a rural environment. So what we did is we looked at frontier counties in Texas. We tried to find uninsured and underserved areas, and we found speakers that were physicians, nurses, radiographers, ultrasound techs, and many of these events that we conducted. We had over 40, and sometimes we couldn't, so we had just lay individuals that were cancer survivors. And if a physician or nurse was a cancer survivor, they also identified themselves as such when they were speaking at these events. And we had a lot of bilingual program materials, but the presentations were all in English. Okay, so here's Texas. We've got areas that are classified as frontier regions. You might take a couple hours to get to a healthcare facility. We wanted to look at spread all over the state. So our implementation arm of the agency is AgriLife. They've got agents in all 254 Texas counties. And what we really wanted to test here in this intervention is, can we do this all over the state? That was the main goal of the study in general. And so a lot of the measures we collected were feasibility measures. And then when it came down to redoing the program next year, they had some questions, and we did evaluate some of the logistical things. So this presentation is really about answering questions from our implementation team. So we had over 1,500 women at these events that provided their information, and it was really kind of a party event that we didn't want to ask them too many questions, scare these women away. So we had limited information based on their survey questions, like maybe like 10 questions. And then there was an observer from AgriLife that would collect event information. So what we're really trying to find out about is, does the credibility of these speakers measured as either expert or trustworthy impact the commitment to the mammograms? The other issue is, what are they actually saying at these events? So our speakers had 6 key points that they were supposed to discuss at the events. And here's the type of people we had speak. So the first 4 categories, left to right, we've got 19 physicians, 9 nurses. And other professionals, like I said, could be a radiographer, ultrasound tech. And then there were 3 counties that we didn't have the ability to have any professional, but we had our cancer survivors. All those lay person speakers are cancer survivors. And then overall, we had 16 of the 43 speakers were cancer survivors. These are what people would discuss at the events. You know, we're trying to convince women to get these mammograms. So tell them, like, number six, a mammogram is not usually painful. It can happen for all ages, but increases women age. This is all based on evidence and from the original intervention. And so in terms of saying all six of those key points, the cancer survivors as speakers actually did the best job at mentioning all six. Physicians might not have wanted to say, if a physician doesn't tell you to get a mammogram, you might need one anyway. That's kind of self-critical, but that was the main one that they skipped. But overall, we had pretty good fidelity. The 66% on the lay cancer survivors, there were three of those. So two of the three did say all 6 points. And so looking at the audience members, like I said, we had over 1,500 people. 68% after the educational event did commit to get a mammogram. And we didn't have the resources to follow up to find out if they actually did. But then breaking down those with a family history of cancer actually committed the most and over those with personal history. And we kind of thought maybe the instrument was to blame for that because we want those who have had cancer to keep getting their screening to prevent recurrence from getting out of hand. We had questions on race and ethnicity, and we found that Hispanic women, for whatever reason, maybe cultural, maybe income, they had the lowest commitment. And then age, of course, as all of us would expect. Those under 40 might not need a mammogram, but this is a party environment, so maybe a 19-year-old daughter might bring her mother to the event. We weren't going to turn anyone away. And then in terms of the speakers, just looking at straight commitment, the nurses did really well. Physicians, for whatever reason, were not so great. And then the cancer survivors have the lowest here, but we don't really know what happened there until we put all this into a multivariate model. And of course, I like to see that the fidelity mattered there. Those that spoke more about the six key points got better commitment. So when we look at the multivariate model, it was a nominal regression. We found actually that the cancer survivor speakers did the best job, and it was significant at getting women to commit. And then looking at the audience factors, those with the family history of cancer, that was a significant association, and as well as age. So why is that? Like I said before, the instrument had something to do with it. As far as personal history of cancer not being significant, predicting if someone would commit to a mammogram, the questionnaire actually said, will you commit to a mammogram in the next 6 months? And that wasn't matching up with the speaker saying the ACS recommendations of a yearly mammogram. So maybe a mammogram that was a month old might not be worth having in the next 6 months. So, like I said, it was really about the feasibility of the intervention, and so that's the main limitation. It's an ad hoc analysis. We didn't ask the questions that we really need to ask. These are general indicators of fidelity and trustworthiness. But also, we didn't look at follow-up behavior in year one. We're doing that in year two. But we really just know if they committed to a mammogram. So the main implications are that maybe you do want somebody who's a cancer survivor to speak at these events. And in terms of lay survivors, we really didn't have enough to say, but we're looking at using those more in year two. And then in commitment, we really don't know why we got only about 70%. Most of these events were in Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we'd really like to see 100%, but you know, we need repeated messaging or look at other barriers.